us as we study his word in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning will be, our topic will be the heartbeats, becoming the heartbeats of God. Becoming the heartbeat of God. As Christians, it's so easy for us to keep on walking, you know, every day. And we might feel like it becomes a routine, something that there's nothing special to it. But there's a lot of beauty in God's word. There's a lot of beauty in Christianity. And the more the Lord opens our eyes to it, the more we'll enjoy our walk with him. Let's turn to the book of Psalms 147 from verse 10 to 11. Psalm 147, 10 to 11. And it says, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. The Lord does not take delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man, but he takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Remember, our topic for today is becoming the heartbeat of God. What does it take to become the heartbeat of God? And what does it mean to be the heartbeat of God? Being the heartbeat of God is being someone that the Lord really loves, being someone that the Lord, when the Bible says that David was the man after God's heart, that's someone that the Lord cherished. Yes, we all have a love that the Lord has given to all of us because Jesus died for us. But there are some who the Lord has brought close to his heart. How can you be that person? How can you be the one whose relationship is with God is not just generic, just like everyone else? How can you take it deeper with the Lord? How can your relationship with him be just more than, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe God died for me. How can you get deeper with the Lord? And this Bible passage outlines two main things. The first thing is, one, hope in his mercy. If we can go to that Bible verse again, I'll read it from the Good News Translation. Psalms 147 from 10 to 11. And here it says, his pleasure is not in strong horses, nor his delight in brave soldiers, but he takes pleasure in those who honor him, in those who trust in his constant love. So first, to be someone who the Lord loves, to be someone who is not just, oh yes, I know God, but does the Lord know you? To be someone who the Lord knows, who the Lord loves, the first thing is honor him. But what does it mean to honor God? What does it mean to honor God? Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms 2, verse 11. Psalms 2, verse 11. Psalms 2, verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear, tremble, and verse 12 as well, and bow down to him, or else his anger will be quickly aroused, and you will suddenly die. Well, God has mercy on us, and he has died for us. But let's look at that 11 especially. It says, serve the Lord with fear and tremble. Serve the Lord with fear and tremble. Remember, we need to honor and fear the Lord. Let's also open our Bibles to the book of Psalms 89, verse 7. Psalm 89, verse 7. What does it mean to honor the Lord? Psalm 89, verse 7. It says, you are feared in the council of the holy ones. They all stand in awe of you. This is speaking of the Lord. We all have this idea that the Lord loves us, which is true. And we'll go to that. We'll get to that today. The Lord loves us with a love that it takes his Holy Spirit to show us because it's so great. The love the Lord has for us. It's so great because it's a love we don't deserve. It's a love we haven't earned. So he loves us so much, but still we can't downplay that we need to honor him, that we need to fear him. Because this God we serve, he's not just a God who, he decided to love us. He's not a God who had to love us because it's something he had to do. No, he decided to love us. But then, why do we have to fear him? Let's again open to the book of Revelation 15, verse 4. Revelation 15 verse 4. We're looking at the fear of God, what it means. Revelation 15 verse 4 says, who will not stand in awe of you, God, in awe of you, Lord? Who will refuse to declare your greatness? You alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship you because your just actions are seen by all. This is what it means to honor God. This is what it means to fear God. He said, it says, who will not stand in awe of you? Who will not stand in awe of you? Who is God? He's the creator. When it comes to our mind that the Lord made everything that exists, the Lord, through his power, through his sovereignty, made everything that exists. And this place says, who will not stand in awe of you? What creature doesn't stand in awe of you? Let's even go to the creation story. Let's go to Genesis. Let's see God's power in action. Let's see God's authority in action and why we need to stand in awe of him. Let's go to the book of Genesis 1. Let's start from verse 14. We know the entire creation story, but let's just take a verse and just see God's power in action. It says, Then the Lord commanded, let the lights appear in the sky. Let me read from here. Okay. Then the Lord commanded, let the light appear in the sky to separate day from night and to show time when, and show the time when days, years, and religious festivals begin. Verse 15. They will shine in the sky to give light to the earth. And it was done. Creation did not say, no, Lord, we don't want to, come on. The Lord declared a thing and it happened. And let's go back to Revelation 15 verse 4. We too are his creation. Yes, he's our father, but he's our creator. And it says, who will refuse to declare your greatness? This is what it means to honor God. First, it means to fear him. He loves us, but this our God is also a consuming fire. It means to declare his greatness. That's what it means to honor him. That's what it means to fear him. It means to declare his greatness. Lord, you are great. It means to remember the greatness of the things he has done. For you alone are holy. It means to recognize his holiness. Now, why should we fear God? Why should we fear God? Because it can get very, oh, yes, but why? Why should I fear him? Am I not saved by him? Why should I fear him? We need to know who God is in his entirety. First, because he is just. We've heard about his justice. But what does it mean that God is just? Let's open to the book of Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. And it says, the Lord is your mighty defender. Can we open to King James, the King James version? I'll just read good news from my Bible here. We can have King James, New King James on the screen. Sorry, New King James. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, it says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. We need to fear him because he's just. Why? Why? The Hebrew word for justice is tzaddik. It means righteous. It means lawful. The Lord is righteous. He is lawful. Who has ever, I don't know if we've seen a story or a movie or a presentation of a court case or you've been to a court case before. We know what it means to be lawful means. This is what the law says and this is my judgment. Someone who is just does things according to the law. Now, why should this make us fear him? We had to be redeemed by God because we broke the law. Because God's law said, if you sin, you ought to die. But because God is just, why should we fear him? If he is a just God, he will meet out that just thing on us. Psalm 119, verse 137. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to see more of his word. And it says, righteous are you, Lord, and upright are your judgments. The Lord's judgments are upright. This means that what the Lord acts on is right. He does not lie. He's not unjust. He's lawful. He is upright. A good example of this is in Deuteronomy 32, 48 to 52. This is when Moses went against God's principles. Deuteronomy 32, 48 to 52. And this is the justice of God in action. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, 49, go up to this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession. Verse 50. And die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on the Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Verse 51. It says, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Verse 52. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I'm giving to the children of Israel. Now someone might see this and be like, wow, did God really do this to Moses? But that's about the Lord's justice. But this can also work in our favor, because we can have that understanding, we can have that peace, that even if the world is against us, even if everyone turns against us, the Lord is just in that he sees our right, even if no one else sees it, and he is just in our case. Even if everyone is against you, the Lord is for you. That's one thing that we can rejoice in. Now, why else do we need to fear the Lord? Because he's righteous. We're getting to how we can be his heartbeats. But first, we need to know who this God is before we can love him, before we can be close to him. We need to know who he is, his righteousness. The Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedakah. And it means truthfulness. It means righteous, a righteous judge, ruler, or king. It means righteous in a case or in a cause. It means ethically right. Let's open to the book of Psalms 11, verse 7. He's righteous. Psalms 11, verse 7. Psalms 11 verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. The Lord is righteous. He is righteous in all his ways. And his countenance upholds the upright. Let's open to the book of Psalms 71 verse 19. Looking at the Lord's righteousness. It says, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? So God is right in all his ways. It means he can't be wrong. If he says something, he can't be mistaken because he's righteous. That's what it means for God to be righteous. It means he knows everything. The Lord knows everything. He's right in everything. Why should this make us fear him? The Bible says the Lord is a consuming fire. What if it happens to be that the Lord is right and you're in the wrong? That should make us tremble. But still, while getting to how we can be his heartbeat, the Lord still is love, which is something we can rejoice in. So we've talked about the Lord's justice. We've talked about his righteousness, and that's why we should fear him. Let's go to his sovereignty. The Lord is sovereign over everything. The Lord knows everything that happens. The Lord is in control of everything. Let's open to the book of Proverbs 16, verse 33. Proverbs 16, verse 33. And it says, The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So the Lord decides everything. The Lord presides over everything. How can this give us peace? Because we know that in any situation we are in as believers, the Lord presides over it. It really doesn't matter what the circumstances are. What matters is what the Lord says. That's about his sovereignty. But still, only him can decide those things. Job 42 verse 2, still about his sovereignty. Job 42 verse 2. Job 42 verse 2, and it says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Let's open to the book of Colossians 1 from verse 16 to 17. Colossians 1, 16 to 17. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The Lord made all things. He's sovereign over everything. He's in control of everything. Every detail, every bird that flies in the sky, he is in control. Every time there's snow, the Lord is in control. He's in control of every detail. And finally, let's open to the book of Isaiah 45, 7 to 9. Isaiah 45, 7 to 9. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. The Lord does all of that. And verse 8 says, rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. The Lord is sovereign. This also means that his decision stands. His decision is permanent. His decision is permanent. And we can't take this lightly, because we've seen in the Bible so many times what the Lord does to people who go against him, or people who try to attack him. The Lord can be a consuming fire as much as he's a God of love. This is something we need to understand, to love him and to understand his love for us. And finally, the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy, which is why we should fear him. The Hebrew for holy is kadosh. It means sacred. It means set apart. It means morally sacred. Let's open to the book of Isaiah 5, verse 16. Isaiah 5, verse 16. The Lord is holy. He is set apart. He is different. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Let's also open to the book of Leviticus 11 from verse 44 to 45. Leviticus 11 from verse 44 to 45. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 45. For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Holy means different. It means that the Lord is in a category of himself, or of his own. Nothing can be compared to him. We can't compare him to ourselves. We can't say, oh, because I'm like this, oh, then therefore God is like this. No. He's in a category to himself. He's incomparable. This means he's not like us in any way. He doesn't have the thoughts we have. This is why we can't figure out God. We can't predict what God will do, because he is holy. Because he's different. These are the reasons we should fear him. So we talked about four reasons why we should fear God. One, his justice. Two, his righteousness, meaning that he's right in everything. Three, he's sovereign. He decides everything. May God not decide against us in our case, in Jesus' name, because he's sovereign. If the Lord decides against us, who will save us? No one. He's holy in that he's different in every way. We can't predict God. These are the reasons we should fear him. The second reason, there are two things to becoming the heartbeat of God. To be one he loves, it means to understand these things about him. To honor and fear him, this is what he's talking about. Now, we're going to talk about the other thing. How we can be the heartbeat of God. Let's just go back to that verse again. Psalms 147 from verse 10 to 11. Psalm 147 from verse 10 to 11. It says, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in what? In those who fear him. And the second part says what? In those who hope in his mercy. So we've talked about how to fear the Lord. We've known why we need to fear the Lord. But in those who hope in his mercy. Hope in his mercy. Oh, the first part we just studied. Oh, the Lord is holy. I should work. I should be scared. What if the Lord strikes me? No. The Lord doesn't just want you to see just that part of him. That part of him is very true. But the Lord also wants you to hope in his mercy. Let's look at the hope in his mercy. Trust in good news. Can we see that in good news? Psalms 147 verse 11 in good news translation. Some versions say trust, some say hope. But he takes pleasure in those who honor him, in those who trust in his constant love. The Lord loves us. Oh, I can't wait to get into this part. What does this mean, to trust in the Lord? The Hebrew word for trust is batach. It means to trust in, to have confidence in, to be bold. I was looking at this and there's a place that says it means to be careless. It means you can fall free into his arms. It means if the Lord says, fall, because he will catch you. That's what it means to trust him. It means that's why Abraham could just leave his land and go where God called him to, because he trusted God. That's why the Lord says, go and kill your son. He said, okay, let's go, Isaac. Because he trusted God. It means when God says, do this, he has a plan. That's what it means to trust God. It means to feel safe. It means to be secure. To be the heartbeat of God, you must trust him. And we need his grace to trust him. We can't do this on our own. Let's open to the book of Psalms 4 verse 5. Psalms 4 verse 5. Psalms 4 verse 5. Offer the right sacrifices to the Lord and put your trust in him. Be confident in him. Be secure in him. Let's open to the book of Psalms 9 verse 10. Psalms 9 verse 10. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. That's why we had to go through the first part. Because the Lord is righteous. You can trust him. Please, can we keep it on that just so we can reference it? Because he's righteous, we can trust him. And we can know that he won't abandon us. It says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Because he's just, he will not forsake you. Because he's righteous, because he's sovereign. That's why these characteristics are important. Because it gives you hope, trust, that the Lord is unchanging, that he's faithful. For the Lord doesn't abandon those who seek him. Psalm 52 verse 8. Psalm 52 verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I trust in his mercy. Why do we need to trust in his mercy? We need to trust in his mercy because it's not something we deserve. We have to trust that he will truly forgive us because we've broken his law in many ways. We are not capable of doing everything that the Lord's law says we should do. The Lord says, don't lie. Don't do all these things. And every day we fall short. That's why we should trust in his mercy. Because we don't deserve it. How are we sure he'll give it to us? Because he's faithful. That's how we are sure he'll have mercy on us. Hope. What does it mean to hope? Hebrew for hope is yahal. It means to wait, to expect, to tarry. To wait. You see, it's tied into trusting. If you trust someone and if God says, tomorrow this will happen, just wait. Just tarry, because it will happen. That's what it means to hope in God. It means to hope in his mercy. Let's open to the book of Psalms 38 verse 15. Psalms 38 verse 15. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. I hope. Because he will. Because he's a rock. The Lord is a rock. If you hope in him, he will come true. He will. If he says it, he will. So how can we become God's heartbeats? How can we be his heartbeats? How can we be like David? The Lord says David is a man after my heart. The Lord came true for David so many times. David saw a version of God that so many people in his time did not see. David walked with the Lord. How can we be close to God? How can our Christianity be just more than, oh, I go to church on Sunday? How can we hold him by the hand every day? How can we be sure that he's with us in everything we go through? How can we be God's heartbeat? One, believe in his promises. God has made so many promises to us. Inexhaustible. Let's open to the book of Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is very important. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If you don't believe that God is, if you don't believe that God exists, you can't draw near to him. If you don't trust that he loves you, regardless of your sin, you can't be his heartbeat. Let's open the book of Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even if we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." It's not how much you pray. It's not how much you study the word. It's not all these things that make you, that make God love you. God doesn't love you because of something you do. God doesn't love you because you decided to be a Christian. No. God loves you because he decided to. That's why. So we need to believe in his promises to be his heartbeat. First, we must believe in his promises. Next, we must walk in his spirit. Let's open to the book of Romans 8, verse 8. We must walk in his spirit. Romans 8, verse 8. "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is something we can't water down. We can't be one foot into the world and one foot into God. It doesn't work that way. We need to be transformed by his word. We need to walk in his spirit. We need to cling fully to him and be ready to let go of the things that don't please him for us to be his heartbeat. For the Lord is a jealous God. We can't serve him and serve the world. No. If the Lord wants us, he wants all of us, everything in us. He wants our whole heart to be for him. He doesn't want us to be one leg in and one leg into the world and one leg with him. No. The Lord wants us in entirety. The Lord wants us to know what he wants, his will, and to do his will. But this is not something we can do in our flesh. We must walk in his spirit. To let go of the sins that easily beset us, we must walk in his spirit. I think it's Romans 12, verse 2, I get to say. Or verse 1 to 2, it's probably 1 to 2. Verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. And it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to this world. We are Christians. We can't walk like the world. If we walk like the world, if we do everything like the, if we find pleasure in the things the world finds pleasure in, how can we say we are different? We have to search our hearts again. Are your desires, are the things that please you, are the things you love, the things that God loves? So we must walk in his spirit. I have to round up. Next, we must be obedient to him. But realize that only him can make us obedient. Philippians 2 verse 13. We must be obedient to him, but only him can make us obedient. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." He works in you to make you willing to obey him. You can't obey him just because you want to. His Holy Spirit has to create the desire to want to obey him. So everything revolves around him. You might be very zealous, like, "God, I want to obey you." But there's no desire. Your heart is cold. You just can't. You may want to stop doing something that you're maybe addicted to, but you can't because your heart doesn't want to. So can we go back to that verse? Let's just keep the verses on the screen. So it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." I'll just leave it there. Verse 4, seek his knowledge. To be his heartbeat, you must seek his knowledge. Colossians 1:9-10. You must seek to know him more. You must seek to go deeper with him. The Lord has what it takes to make you want to be obedient, but you must seek his knowledge more. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, of God. So we must seek his knowledge, because his knowledge changes us. Let's open to the book of Hebrews 4 verse 12. We'll just rush through everything. Hebrews 4 verse 12. The Lord's word has the power to transform. I'm telling you, brethren, there is nothing that the Lord cannot save you from. We must just keep chasing after him. There is nothing he cannot deliver you from. There is nothing he cannot change. We must not just give up. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Lord sees your motives. The Lord can change your heart. Let's leave it at that. Just seek his knowledge. Praise him. This is how to become his heartbeat. Hebrews 13:15-16. Hebrews 13:15-16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we must praise him. We must praise his goodness. We must praise his mercy. We must praise the fact that he can change us. We must praise the fact that he has done so many things for us in the past. We must praise the fact that he's just. We must praise the fact that he's righteous. We must praise the fact that he's sovereign over our lives, that he's in control of everything. We must praise him for who he is. We must not praise him because of what he has done. Oh, no, not because of what we expect him to do, but because of what he has done and because of who he is. We must praise him in all circumstances. Let's open the book of Psalms 69 from verse 30 to 31. Psalm 69, 30 to 31. Praise him because he died for you. If he didn't die for you, you would perish. You would go to hell. It's as simple as that. If the Lord didn't die for you, you would pay the price for your sins, which is hell. We can't even water that down. I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. 31. And also, this also shall please the Lord better than ox or bull, which has horns or hooves. Let's leave it at that. And finally, 6. Immerse yourself in his love. Oh, for grace to know him more. Because if we know his love, If we know his love, the law is not what motivates us to walk in holiness. No. His commands will not be what motivates us to walk in holiness. No. If we know his love will propel us. His love will move us. His love will move our hearts to respond to that love. It's his love first. For he didn't love us because we were Christians. He loved us first before we gave our lives to him. If we know his love. Psalms 118 from verse 1 to 8. This is where we're ending today. To know his love. Psalms 118 from verse 1 to 8. If we know his love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good. For his mercy endures forever. He is good. His mercy. It doesn't matter how much you fall. But stand up and chase after him again. Let's open again to the book of Psalms 119 verse 41. The Lord is good. Psalms 119 verse 41. Psalms 119 verse 41. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your word. He has said already he will have mercy on you. He will love you out of your faults. Just keep on going back to him. Psalms 119 verse 76. Psalms 119 verse 76. Immerse yourself in his love. His love is what carries us. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word. His love is your comfort. His kindness is your comfort. Open to the book of Psalms 5 verse 8. Let's open to book of, Romans 5 verse 8. And it says, but God, let's read this verse. Can we read this verse together? But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To be his heartbeat, it's not his commands that move us to obey him. We don't say, oh, because God says don't lie. Oh, I'll try not to lie. No. It's his love. You remember what he did for you and you're like, no, I want to walk with him. I want to love him. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, he didn't die for us because we decided to come to him. He died for us while we were still in our sin. He went for us first. He ran after us. Oh. First John 4, 9 to 10. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And finally, let's open to the book of 1 John 3, verse 1. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, this world does not know us because it did not know him. If this is the only thing we take out today, let's know that we are truly his children. We can call him Father. We can call him Dad. If it seems like he doesn't speak to you, say, but you're my Father. Spend time in his presence. Say, I won't leave you, Lord, till you show me you. That's how to be his heartbeat. I pray that the Lord will give us the understanding to know his love and to see more of him. In Jesus' name. Father, we